Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It's your boy, your host, Mr. Danny L. King. And today is Missional Monday, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your Westside Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, I am excited about what's about to go down. Today's topic of conversation, this should be good. Excited about it. It is five wrong motives for church growth. Five wrong motives for church growth. This is going to be good. If you're trying to figure out why and how your church should grow, we want to make sure you got the right motives. So today we're going to be discussing the wrong motives for church growth. So it should be good. Excited to talk about that. But let me give you the rundown, man, on how you can contact the show. If you're already dialed in, and man, y'all jumped in today. I'm looking up. Y'all was in before about 2 minutes before the show started. Love y'all for it, though. I ain't mad. If you're already on the line listening via the phone, you just push one. You can be a part of the show. We'd be glad to have you be a part of the show with your questions and or comments. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, I mean, you've already logged in via your computer or mobile device and you want to follow the show, or you want to make a comment, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. That's area code 347-934-0546, and you can be a part of the show as well. If you want to email the show, real simple, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can be a part of the show there as well. If you're on social media, so are we. Real easy, real simple to do. Simply go to facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio, and you can find us right there. Man, excited about it. You can follow along with us there. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. If you want to tweet the show, that's right, we're on Twitter. Simply go to Twitter @TTLO radio. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. That's @TTLO radio. We'd love to have you there as well. Also, Ustream, you can watch the live simulcast of the show, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Facebook Live. We are up and running. Facebook Live is up and running. Simply go to Facebook.com/. Let me see if I can get this tagged on here some kind of way. This app don't look like it's going to work. Well, I know it's broadcasting, but I can't seem to get into the comments. Anyway, but Facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find us there, and the Ustream app should be, I'm sorry, the Facebook Live app. You should be able to catch that live and in full color right there. Yeah. So all that stuff is up and running, although I don't see it. It says that I'm live, so we're going to figure that out. Let me know if y'all see that up and running, because it don't look like it's running, but I can't see stuff. So, hey, y'all help me out. Anyway, we are live and up and running. Last but not least, iTunes. You can find us on iTunes. Simply go to iTunes as a part of your Apple account. Go to iTunes, do a search under the podcast section for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Man. Okay, yeah. So I'm not sure. Facebook Live says that I'm broadcasting live. It says that I'm live, but I don't even see the link. I see myself talking and all that stuff, so we're going to figure that out shortly. I'm not sure if it's this new app, Facebook app that I installed on the computer, that doesn't seem to be wanting to cooperate with us on today, but we'll get it at some point. We will figure this thing out. It was working the other day. I switched it because last week, as y'all didn't know, you know, our stuff was broadcasting backwards, upside down or something. So we switched that out. But anyway, man, look, I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I am just, let me say this, man. I had a wonderful, wonderful, awesome time at our church picnic on Saturday. Man, the Kingdom Baptist Church picnic, I was never a fan of the picnic, and it ain't because I wasn't over it. I just was never a fan of it because it was just, you know, you get out to eat, whatever, it's fine, all that good stuff. But, man, let me tell y'all this. That picnic was fun. It was a lot of hard work, and I'm still tired. But it was absolutely a good time. So shout out Man, LaTanya, you put in the work. Appreciate you. But let me tell y'all, Bubba, I got the best producer in the world. Y'all didn't know that. Producer slash agent slash assistant, all that good stuff. She put in the work, all of that, and it worked out, man. We did good. Great job. Big shout out to my boys at You Chill, We Grill. They came out and did the thing on that barbecue grill. I'm just trying to tell y'all what really went on. They put in the work, and I must say it was just amazing to sit back and for that. And then to Natalie, our photographer, Natalie. I can't wait to see the pictures. I'm sure you got some good ones. Shout out to Natalie Johnson from Natty J Photography. She came out and shot the whole picnic. She does wonderful pictures. So pictures will be sometime today. So you guys just keep track of that. We'll post them up on the Kingdom Baptist Church Facebook page a little bit later on. As soon as we get them, we will post them up, man. So, and she took some candid shots. So I can't even wait. I'm excited about what's going to happen there with that. So, yeah, that's good. That's good. So, anyway, I'll figure out the Facebook Live thing in a little while. Yeah, we'll figure it out in a little while. It's interesting. It's telling me I was on, but, yeah, not sure where I was actually on at, but it says I was on. So we're going to go back and try it again in a few minutes. But, anyway, it was just, you know, it was a really good time. People had fun. And let me tell y'all about Christian folk playing musical chairs. Musical chairs. If y'all ain't never seen a gospel version of musical chairs, let me tell y'all about some folks. You know, you really find out how Christian you are and how competitive you are when you come to play the game. Now, the children play. We had two different versions of this game. And we got some, and there's some video posted of that too. But we had two different versions of the game, and the children played and had a wonderful time. They didn't have any issues whatsoever playing. They didn't, you know, nobody got hurt. They just were having a good time playing musical chairs. We had great prizes and all kind of stuff. It was just wonderful. But let me tell y'all about these adults. At least they are adults in age only. Do y'all know these folk? I mean, when it got down to about like the final five or six, let me tell y'all, black folk, y'all just acted straight up crazy. And I mean, got to the point where we snatching chairs out from underneath people. Now, this was supposed to be a Christian picnic. But y'all, some of y'all let the devil use y'all and snatch these chairs out from underneath people. I'm really trying to understand what made y'all think that was all right to do. But it was fun. It was all in good fun. Nobody got hurt. It was good. The kids had a wonderful time. They had the bouncy house going. My only complaint is we need a bigger bouncy house because I wanted to get in the bouncy house, but I didn't get a chance to go over in there. Because, I, too, wanted to get in the bouncy house. Now, I figured I could get in there and get me at least one flip in without breaking my neck. So, but again, it was fun. It was a great time, man. I enjoyed it. And let me tell y'all this. It's fun to be able to play, to see people outside of the church element. Even though it was still a Christian gathering, we had fun. We listened to secular music. Ooh, y'all. And we still here. Nobody went to hell. Because we played these last $2 at the picnic. Did nobody wake up in hell the next day? So it must be all right, huh? Huh? I don't hear nobody saying nothing. It must be all right. We played some Teddy Pendergrass or some Love and Happiness, Al Green. We played a little bit of everything. And nobody went to hell the next day. So what you think about that? Isn't that special that we had a good time? A good fun time, clean time, and listening to all types of music, and nobody went to hell. Imagine that. The church picnic, and you played regular kind of music. Gospel music was played too, but we played secular music. Now y'all got to help me because I'm a little old, and I guess I'm a little older than I thought, because I didn't know they had these all these different what they call slides. They played all these different slides and I didn't know nothing but maybe two of them. Now, somebody blowing my phone up in the middle of this show. I don't know who this is. Don't make me read your phone number out because your name didn't come up. So, obviously, you don't know what time of day it is. But let me go on. I didn't know half. You know, they got all these electric, you know, y'all know the electric slide for the old people that's watching. Y'all remember the electric? Okay, so, you know, the electric slide and then there was the cha-cha and then there's the Cupid shuffle. And then they got all these other slides. What I was told is it's about 100 of them. I might have known three. They had some stuff called the Turbo Slide, the Cleveland Slide, the Detroit Shuffle, the Hustle, the Russian Backstep, the Israeli Two-Step. I don't know what the slides were. They did some slides that I had never seen before in my whole black life. But they had fun, and I must admit, I did too, but it was all in fun, man. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It was good. It was a good time, and I hope everybody had a good time. So again, shout out to the church, that those of you who showed up for it. Man, God kept the rain away. The weather was absolutely perfect. We couldn't have asked for better weather. Couldn't have asked for better weather. So it was good stuff, man. It was really, really good. So I'm just glad everybody was able to come out and enjoy it. So you know what? It was good, and hopefully y'all had a good time, with it. So anyway, let me move on. Anyway, outside of that, you know what? It's unfortunate. The city of Chicago celebrated. We were having Lollapalooza, I think that's what it's called, was this weekend, and it was one of the big things for the city. And people had a great time singing, dancing, doing all that stuff downtown. And Father Flager, I really don't believe he tries to rain on the parade, but his points are always so relevant and on time. And I have to agree with him where, when we get to these issues of how we had all these people. We had all these people here celebrating all these different things here in the city of Chicago and had this great time. But at the same time, we in the city, over eight people died. Eight people died and 46 people were shot. So how do you, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and it's so poignant when he said this. He said it's a tale of two cities. It's literally a tale of two cities. And what do you do with that? How are we to respond to that? Because literally, I mean, it's one of those things where we had no way around all of the stuff that was happening. It was just so much stuff that was going on, and in this city, while downtown Chicago was celebrating, the west side and south side of Chicago was killing each other. Let me say that again. While people were downtown celebrating in the Loop and in Grant Park and having a wonderful time, the south sides of Chicago and the west sides of Chicago were still in a war zone. Now, that's kind of that. Now, I know you're going to say, well, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's just the truth. I mean, you can't. How do we. Y'all help me. How do we get this? Okay, Facebook Live is up. Good. It's up and running. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How do we get beyond that? When do we move? When do we start to not have this divided city? Whereas this wonderful event, and I'm not knocking the event, so please don't think that's what I'm doing. I'm not knocking the event, but how do we have this wonderful festival going on one side of town and then on two other sides of town? We have absolute chaos. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy that this is where we are. And there's no rhyme or reason for it I understand sin is all over. I get the biblical response about sin being in the city. I get that. And you know what? Let me say this. The other Wednesday we were out on the corners, and a guy pulled up to me while I was standing in the middle. I was standing on the median. And the one guy says, "Do you really think we can do anything about the violence in this city?" And he was a Christian brother. This is what he said, but his question was, it was kind of a loaded question. And I said, "Of course we can." He said, "But do you not know that we're in the end times, that everything that's happening is to be expected, and the only thing we can do is be in the will of God and continue to be prayerful and to get ready, because it's only going to get worse." That's what he said to me. Now, at first, that was a little bit discouraging. But then I thought about it, and I said, "You're right. I get the whole it's the end times thing, but I refuse to believe that we have to sit back and just live in it. I refuse to believe that all we're supposed to do is to sit back and just pray that it's going to get better and then do nothing else. I don't have that mindset. I'm sorry. I've never had the mindset of just sit back and watch and everything will just, it's going to be what it's going to be. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. And I don't know about you, but I can't swallow. That's a pill I refuse to swallow. And I don't believe, it's not about me going against what the Bible says. It's just me saying, if that's the case, if you want to take that defeatist attitude, well, it's the end times and you're not supposed to do anything, then I don't believe that's the mission that Jesus gave us. I still believe that it is our job to still try to win souls, even if it is at the end days. If you don't believe me, let me take you somewhere. When Jesus was on the cross, it was the end times for his physical walk. It was the end times. But even on the cross, even unto death, he was still saving souls. Huh? Y'all don't miss that. Don't miss that. Do we need to talk about the thief? Even at the end of his days, he was still saving souls. So you cannot take that defeatist attitude. It's end times. So because it's end times, we have to now just sit back and watch what's going on and be okay with it. I'm not going there. It just doesn't work for me. So you know that was one of the things. And then I just thought I just really wanted to share that with you. On another note, man. Yesterday, I was tired, but I was sitting. I was reading, you know, online. I try to read everything, simply because, you know, I have to come in here with topics and stuff like that. So I read pretty much any and everything that comes across my timeline and whatever I can find online, all of that stuff. One of the things that was so crazy and stuff that goes on yesterday was this thing that happened yesterday. There was an apparent murder-suicide right here in the Austin area yesterday, and it happened right outside of a church here in the Austin neighborhood. I read it and I was at an absolute loss. It happened yesterday. It says a 38-year-old man. Let me read you what it says. A 38-year-old man fatally shot a 36-year-old woman he knew before killing himself in a murder-suicide in Austin Sunday afternoon. It says officers believe the man shot the woman in the 5700 block West Chicago Avenue at about 2:05 p.m. Sunday before he turned the gun on himself. The man and woman were both pronounced dead on the scene, and the gun was recovered. The man had waited for the woman to leave a church service on the Chicago Avenue block before he fatally shot her. And this happened out of misname the church. I want to make sure I get the name of the church right. I think it was Mount Olive, Second Mount Olive, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's what it was. Second Mount Olive Church, and right on Chicago Avenue. Literally waited for the woman to get out of church, shot her 3 times, and then killed himself in front of people. In front of people. Now, I am... And y'all, and church, we don't think we need to get right. How much closer? Can I say this? And FYI, Facebook Live is up and running. If y'all got, leave your comments, say what you're going to say. Ustream.
The chat room should be up and running. Yeah.
Ustream chat is up and running. Email me, whatever you're going to do. We cannot afford to continue to be absentee in the community. How much closer to home does the violence have to get? Church, I'm talking to y'all. How much worse and closer to home does this have to get before we decide we're no longer going to just sit idly by and watch this? This is coming at a time where, and I mean literally, right out, I mean the woman didn't even make it to her car. Now, yes, this may have been some personal stuff going on, but that's not even the issue. How many of our people have to continue to die? And then how many funerals do we have to continue to go through before we as churches and church leaders and pastors and all of these other titles we have put down our titles and our egos and just join together and say, you know what? It's done. We got the, can I talk? Can we talk, church? Can we talk? I know we got church members who are active in gangs. We got family members, I should say, that are active in gangs. We know who their parents are, their uncles, their aunties. They're in church with us. And we won't address it. But yet we expect things to just turn around by us just showing up on Sunday. Help me. We cannot allow this constant over and over. This violence is sucking us in. You know what? If you ever watch any type of science fiction movies, there's this thing, and they exist for real. We've never encountered one, but they do exist. A black hole. A black hole, all it does is suck the life, light, and energy out of everything it can grasp. And science tells us anything that gets in the gravitational pull of a black hole gets sucked in, never to be seen again. That is what's happening to our communities, and the church, which is supposed to be the salt and the light, is non-existent. The church that is supposed to be the salt and the light is non-existent. Now you say, now Dana, that's kind of harsh. How can you say that? What brings you to that? How did you get to that conclusion? Well, let's just look at our city. Let's look at our current circumstances. Let's look at all of these churches. Now, if you just look at the churches that we're supposed to be the light, and there is this one big cloud of darkness that continues to grow. Why? Because we're not shining enough light on the situation. We're not being that light on a hill that we claim we're to be? Where are we in this process? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some churches, but see, one church can't do it by itself. Two churches can't do it by themselves. You're asking too much of two churches or three churches when there's 200 and 300 of you all. I know y'all say, here he go again. He on his soapbox talking about what the church ain't. How? Where are we supposed to go with this? But then we preaching dead sermons or sermons that make absolutely no sense, talking about who jealous of who and all this other mess. I mean, what? That ain't got that. God ain't in that mess. He ain't in that. Keep that personal mess at home. Matter of fact, don't even preach that out somewhere. I'm really trying to understand how we as a church have gotten to this point where we've become, I hate to say the word, but cowardice. When did we become so complacent, so hum-ho, so status quo that, well, as long as we can get to the church, as long as the building is there, as long as the doors are open, as long as the lights are on, then we can sing our Zion songs and blah, 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 and go home. There's something greatly wrong with that picture. There is something greatly wrong with that picture when that's the crux of all you do. Bible studying on Wednesday, show up on Sunday. I mean, that's the crux of it. You may have a few programs here and there, but that's the crux of what you do. There is no excuse for this to happen. I don't know what happened with these two individuals, but to leave your church, to be walking to your car, and to be shot 3 times. Now you've been praising the Lord. You've been praising the Lord. And then you walk out to your car and you're shot. Now I know you can say, well, that can happen to anybody. Yes, it could. But are we preparing our people? Pastors, I need you to be honest. Are you preparing your people? Or are you setting them up for failure? Are we really preparing our membership? Are we really preparing our membership? That's a real question. Are we really preparing our membership for what's happening? Or are we just what? We just going through the motions? We just going through the motions? Are we preparing our people for what's about to occur? Are we letting them know that this life is not promised to us, and that at any time, and because it's not promised to us, we need to make sure that we're getting our people right with God, not just carrying out some trivial agenda that you have, some non-God-given vision, but real preparedness. I know it's gotten real cliche because we say it all the time. It's gotten real cliche, but it is time out for playing church. It really is. It's really time out. It's been time out for a long time. We've been on the sideline just doing stuff for a long time. It's time to really get back in the game. It really is. And I've said this before. You churches, y'all need, if you know for a fact, because like I said this before, there are some churches that are active in their communities, and for you, I applaud you. I praise you for you. But for the churches who are doing nothing, and I know I got some of y'all members of some, y'all go to some churches, some of y'all watching, I see y'all done piled in everywhere, y'all on Ustream, y'all listening on the phone, y'all on Facebook, I see you. If your church isn't actively doing something in the community, you need to question your pastor. And it's not disrespectful. It's not disrespectful. The simple question is this. Ask your pastor, pastor, what can we do in this community that we're in? Not what are we doing? Because that could come off as you challenging him or her. Ask the question, what can we do in the community? What are we capable of doing? What resources do we have that we can turn around and give to some people in the community? What can we do to be a help in the community? How can we use the tools, the gifts that God has given us? How can we use this building or whatever it is we have, storefront? I don't care if you got a storefront, a garage. I don't care where your church is being held. What can we do to help our community that is sinking deeper and deeper into this black hole? What can we do? That's a real honest question. And I think any pastor worth his salt can give you an answer. And let me go further. Can we go deeper? You're going to get the first answer where we got to pray. Okay, fine, pastor. When are we going to start praying? And then after we're done praying, pastor, then what are we going to do? Because I know you're going to get the quick one. We just need to pray for him. Then what? Again, it's not about being disrespectful. It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question. And it's one that deserves a legitimate answer. And guess what? If you are a pastor, because I know y'all like to watch. Y'all secretly watch. Y'all secretly listen. Y'all, you know, I get that. That's all right. It's all good. If you really don't have an honest answer, be honest and tell your member, I don't know what we can do. Say that then. And then maybe the next thing you should do is put the call out to your leadership team. And you need to call them to the table and say, hey, we cannot sit in this community and do nothing. We just can't continue to keep showing up in a community and do nothing. That's a problem. That's an absolute problem if we think that's okay. Because maybe, pastor, you don't know what to do. But maybe there's somebody in your congregation that does, but you have not empowered him or her. It's not about you giving up your reins of leadership. Good leadership teaches people. Good leadership delegates, especially if I don't know what I'm doing. Can I help y'all? I am not the most organized person in the world. That's just the truth. Yeah, anybody that know me, know that's the truth. So there are certain things that need to take place to produce this show, to get this show on the air, to keep this show running, that needs to take place. And guess what? Some stuff I just don't do. Y'all see my hand up. Some stuff I just don't do. Some stuff I just can't do. Put it that way. Let me be honest. And because of that, I have to empower other people to say, hey, look, this is you. You have to give people ownership, buy-in. To say, okay, we're a part of this team together. We're a part of this together. And I need you to pick me up when I'm a little short. So, yeah, I may be pastor or whatever your title is, but then my job is to surround myself, not with bobbing head dolls. Yeah, pastor, whatever you say. You know, we got enough of that mess. We got enough of these things going on where everybody just sitting around and, you know, y'all in the meeting like this here, and your head just going up and down, and you know. We got enough of that in the church. You need to surround yourself with some people who challenge you to do better, who challenge you to be better. I mean, that's just real. And when we do that, then we begin to grow. Then we begin to develop real-time plans and real-time instruction and build from a real platform versus doing what some of us like to do. We just going to throw it up against the wall and we're going to see if it works. And if it works, great. If it don't, oh well. You know, trying stuff just for the sake of trying. And no. Real plans, people. Real plans. Real discussion. Real teamwork. You know, instead of this passive aggressiveness approach. You mad or you angry because you don't know what to do. So instead of you showing or being honest and humble enough to say, I really don't know what to do, you have this passive aggressive approach where you just sit back and don't say nothing, but then you don't encourage nothing either. Huh? Y'all come on now. It's the truth. It's the truth. That's what we do. That's what we do. We sit back and we passive aggressively like to just sit back and we do stuff so that it seems like we're actually for you, but technically we're not, because we don't actively support you. We don't publicly push you. We don't publicly try to build you up. What we do is we just sit back and we just kind of put you out there and don't, you know, with no real support system. How do we get there? How do we get from, how do we move from that to putting something relevant in place? We are in the midst of a war zone. And we're still arguing about silly stuff. Some stuff you just got to let God work out at the end. Let's work on the stuff that we know we can work out on. Let's work this stuff. Let's put a plan together on what we know we have the capability of doing. Maybe we got the building and you got the financial piece. Maybe you got the financial piece, but you don't have a building big enough to complete the plan. Maybe you got the head knowledge, but don't have the team around you. I like what my brother said on Friday, and I miss you, bro. I was glad to have you back in the studio on Friday. Devon said this on Friday. He wants to put a team together, a leadership team together. Everybody ain't got to be a member of his church, because he wants the best people at the table with him. You ain't got to be a member. I just need you to be a believer. Come on, somebody. I don't need you to be a member. I need you to be a believer. But we wanna sit back and well, I don't know, and this and that, and play this old whole hum role I really don't know what we gonna do. We can do better than this, church. We can do better than this. We can do better than this. Absolutely. Miss McGee just put on Facebook, write the vision. And then watch this. You gotta do more than that. After you write the Bible says, write the vision and do what? Make it plain. See, some of us got these, theological dissertation visions that don't nobody recognize but you and your school professor. You got to put that thing down and you got to make it as simple as possible so that people can follow and get behind it and then buy into it. I know, and it's not because your congregation can't keep up intellectually with you, but guess what? You got to do it for the least of them. Even in the secular world, anybody with any type of marketing background, a sales background, or any type of professional background, there is a method. It is called the KISS method, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Think about this. Some of y'all get up in front of y'all churches and you want to show us your intellectual biblical prowess. You want to show us that you can use the best grammar, that you can break down the definition of the Hebrew and the Greek and all of this. And after you get done telling me about what was Greek and what was Hebrew, what have you really given me? You notice when Jesus preached, Jesus never preached about, well, the Hebrew word for what I'm saying is this. Maybe because he was speaking in Hebrew. He never said the Greek word for what I'm saying is this. Jesus just spoke. Jesus had kept it real simple. He said, hey, you want a fish or do you want to be made a fisher of men? Real simple. You can't. That ain't confusing to nobody. I can feed you some fish or I can teach you how to fish. That's simple. He spoke in simple. He said, hey, if you throw your seeds on concrete or if you throw your seeds in the thorns, it ain't going to grow nothing. It's going to get caught in the thick and the thistle. But if you plant your seeds in some good ground, simple. But we want to talk about, well, you know, because the Lord sits high and he looks low and he does these things from the clouds and he did this and he did. Man, sit down somewhere. You ain't saving nobody. Ain't nobody getting saved from that. Ain't nobody coming to Jesus because you know how to say words that got more than three syllables in it. Don't nobody care about that. I mean, don't get me wrong. When need be, if I have to, I can pontificate with the best of them. But that ain't how you talk to people. Because when I need to go talk to bruh man on the corner, I ain't finna be pontificating with him. We gonna talk on a level that everybody can understand. At some point, we're going to have to get out of self. We're going to have to move. We're going to have to kick self to the curb and be about the business that God has called us to be about, to start walking in the purpose that God told us and instructed us to walk into. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But instead, we got all these different agendas. I got a 3-year plan and a 5-year plan. It's wonderful to have plans. But like somebody told me, I've heard the saying so many times, you want to make God laugh, you want to make God laugh and crack up, make you some plans. Make your own plan. Because trust me when I tell you, this right here, what y'all see me doing right now, this whole sitting behind a microphone 3 days a week, And talking to y'all and doing this stuff. And again, this was never my plan. Being called to preach, this was never my plan. This ain't nowhere in the planning that I thought I would be doing. This ain't it. This ain't it at all. That's just for real. This ain't it. So, hey, look, I wanted to share that with y'all. We can do better. And that's where, and I know, you know, some certain preachers don't like to use the word frustrating, but I use the word frustrating because it's an actual feeling. Because you know why I use the word frustrated? Because if you read the Bible, Jesus even got frustrated. So if Jesus could get frustrated, then I can be frustrated. And what's frustrating is when you know that better is available and you just don't get it. When you've seen better and you just don't get it, you just don't do it. That's frustrating for me. I know the power of the church. I've seen the power of the church. History tells us about the power of the church in the community. So don't tell me what we can't do. Just tell me what you refuse to do. I understand that. I get that. I really, really do. So look, we're gonna take a break, y'all. I'm gonna take a break. We're gonna take a real quick break. Man, I appreciate y'all. I see all the comments on Facebook Live. I appreciate y'all. It's unfortunate that this is where we are. But guess what? God is still good. He is still good. He is still good. So we're gonna take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into a little bit more conversation. Then we're going to jump into today's article. But we're going to take a real quick break. I'm going to get them to give me a little water. That's what I'm going to do. We'll be right back. Again, you want to call in? Matter of fact, Facebook Live, y'all want to call in, be a part of the show? Let me give y'all the number real, real quick. Again, if you want to call in and be a part of the show, that's area code 347-934-0546. Again, that number is area code 347-934-0546. 6. We'll be right back, y'all. Won't be nothing but about a good 30 seconds, and I'll be right back. Y'all stay blessed, man. T-T-L-O.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546. Or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. I told y'all it was going to be quick. I told you it was going to be real quick. It was going to be real quick. Real quick break. Real quick break. So there's the number if you want to call in. The email address is takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, that's at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show. We're on Facebook Live. We're on Ustream.tv. We're everywhere, man. So look at y'all. Just come on in. Come on in and join us. I love to have you. Love to hear from you. It'll be awesome. So look, so much other stuff was going on. So Donald Trump decided that he was going to go after. So we know the Democratic Convention happened. I'm gonna say this real quick, and I'm gonna move on. The Democratic Convention happened last week. It was all last week, and they had the father of a veteran who was killed in, I believe he was killed in Afghanistan. He got up and spoke at the Democratic Convention about the sacrifice that his family made, that, you know, his son lost his life over there. And he talked about, and he said, you know, Donald Trump, what have you actually ever sacrificed for anybody? What have you lost? What price have you paid? Donald Trump came back and attacked the dude and pretty much said, you know, that he went in on the guy and he said some unflattering remarks. And once again, the Republican Party kind of had to come out and say, well, he didn't mean that towards the soldier, because the soldier is a hero, but he was attacked verbally by this guy at the convention. Let me say this. This election is going to be probably one of the most followed election. We thought when our president Barack Obama was running the first time, when he won in 08, it was probably one of the most followed and talked about elections ever. This one is probably going to top that one for two reasons. Why? Because there's a woman who has an opportunity to win the office. That's first and foremost. That in itself is historical. We've already had one historical moment because she's the first woman ever from a major party to be nominated. So that's one historical moment already that's taken place. Now, second one is she can actually win. Okay, fine. The other one is the fact that you have two people who are absolutely polarizing on both sides. Two people who are polarizing on both sides. Okay? Hillary, I am not a fan. I've said that from the beginning. I am not a fan, not a fan, not a fan, not a fan. Donald Trump is absolutely crazy. But I am starting to be one of those people who feel like he ain't as crazy as he pretends to be. I am almost one of those people who's starting to fall into this thing of, is this just really a point? The story goes like this. They say that the only way Hillary can really win is she has to be up against the worst possible candidate that they could find. Well, y'all explain to me what Donald Trump is. Because let's rewind this. Let's keep everything that happened up until now. And then let's take any of the other Republican candidates that have ran in the last 2 years. That would be Mitt Romney and John McCain. I don't honestly believe that Hillary Clinton could beat Mitt Romney or even John McCain, for that matter. Now, she might be John McCain because we was all scared of Sarah Palin. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know y'all was scared of Sarah. Y'all know had John McCain won and that crazy woman would have been the vice president and that old man McCain would have died in office, that would have left us with crazy. You know, the one who live in Alaska and she can see Russia from her backyard and, you know, she reads magazines but don't could name nothing. Her. Yeah. Now, I'm simply saying this and it's starting to make a lot of sense. Is Hillary the best possible woman candidate we could have? No, she is not. So you will never hear me defend her. I am not going to defend her. I am not going to try and defend her. That ain't my job. But I can tell you Donald Trump is absolutely he is the best candidate to get Hillary to win. That's just the truth. Y'all, come on now. If Donald Trump was just a good businessman who did not say all of the horrible things that he said, who did not cheat hundreds of people, thousands of people out of money, who did not do all these and say all these deplorable things on national TV, who did not have this background of being married 3 different times and all this other stuff and all this, he was just the average guy who built himself up and had a successful company. There is no way in the world there would be no question. He would be winning this thing by a landslide. But because of who he is and what he's done, he has made it impossible, unless you are crazy, to vote for him. So you're left with whoever the Green Party candidate is. Do we even know who the Green Party candidate is? Who is the Green Party candidate? Do we have a Green Party candidate? Tanya, help me out. Who is the Green Party candidate? I don't know. Somebody help me. I'm just curious. But whoever that person is running, we don't know who they are because they don't have any money. Unless you go do a search for them, you're never going to see a television ad from them. You're never going to even – the first time you'll see their name will be on the ballot when you go to vote. So unless you do the research, of who they are and what they stand for, you're never going to know what they are. So you're left to do with Hillary and the Donald. Again, I ain't going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm just saying, it is – oh, Lord, it is what it is, and it ain't good. It ain't good. It's going to take me some serious prayer. Now, the problem is I live in Illinois. So, honestly, I ain't talking crazy. The votes that I'm more concerned about are the ones for the Congress, for the state, the Senate, and the House. Because Hillary going to win Illinois regardless. So my vote for president does not matter. Can I say that honestly? I'm being very, very honest with you all as far as the vote for president piece on the ballot. It is going to mean nothing in this particular race. The votes that are going to matter are the 81 seats in the House and the Senate that are up for grab. Those are the votes that are going to truly matter. That's real. That's real. Excuse me. So when you go to the polls, now I know I got a lot of listeners who ain't in Illinois, and I appreciate y'all because I got listeners everywhere. I love it. But here in Illinois, Hillary gonna win Illinois without a question. Just like Barack won Illinois without a question. My concern are those House seats and those Senate seats. Because, see, that's where the laws get passed. That's where the laws are made. That's where you really ought to be concerned. So, but we'll talk about that as the time gets on. But we're going to move on. Because we need to get to this article. Man, this is going to be good. This article is going to be good. I'm excited. 5 wrong motives for church growth. 5 wrong motives for church growth. The article, you can find it on churchleaders.com under the articles for pastors. You know, we often hear this conversation or the story about church growth because a lot of churches are suffering from church growth or lack of church growth. So we want to talk about this, about what not to do or the wrong motives to have for church growth. So I want to try to help somebody out and help you out if you happen to be in a church where the growth is not happening, or if you maybe just don't have the right mindset for church growth. So I'm going to put the article out there. There's the article for those of you watching on Facebook Live. Y'all might be watching, may wonder what we're about to talk about. I just sent the article out there for you so you can follow along. Just click that and then come back to the thing and you can watch it and do all that good stuff. Okay? All right. Same thing with, as a matter of fact, let me do that for Ustream too real quick. Sorry about that, Ustream. I don't want to leave y'all out. Ustream, so y'all can get the article too. We want to definitely make sure that you guys got the article too. Come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, let me log in over there. All right, there we go, there we go, there we go, there we go. Okay, so there you go. So let me put that over there. Boom. All right. So there's the article for you guys on Ustream, so y'all can follow along as well. So let's just jump right into the conversation. Five wrong motives for church growth. The writer is Kerry Niewolf is the writer of this article. The writer says this. He says, so you want your church to grow, right? That's wonderful. He says, here's a challenging question. Why? Why do you want your church to grow? It's a good question. He says, your motivation for wanting your church to grow is important for several reasons. He says, first, it's the church. It's not your church, it's God's. He says, and one day you'll give an account to God for what you did with what he entrusted you and why you did it. Amen. Amen. That's so important right there. At some point, he says, you're going to have to give an account for what you did with what God gave you. And we're talking about the church. So he says, secondly, and ultimately, he says, I think people can tell eventually that people can tell whether you care about them or whether you're just using them. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, church. This is why churches aren't growing. Because, see, people can tell whether or not you're using them or you truly care about them. Uh-huh. He says, third, it's an integrity issue. He says, integrity ultimately determines whether what you build stands. In the same way with a house, structural integrity will stand over the years. Wanting your church to grow isn't a bad thing, the writer says. Passion for the mission means passion for growth. Passion for the mission. And he says, and the purest motive in leadership will be simply that you want people to come to know the love, forgiveness, and fullness of the life in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. If your leadership does not have a passion for discipleship, your church ain't growing. If your leadership does not have a passion for your missions, then your church ain't growing. If your leadership does not have a passion for the community in which it stands, then your church ain't growing. That's real talk. That's real talk. Ain't no getting around it. Ain't no fighting it. That's just the truth. If your church ain't passionate about those things, but yet you still want your church to grow, then you want your church to grow for the wrong reasons. Let's continue. He says, yet not everyone wants their church to grow for noble reasons. Oh, my God. The writer says this. He says, how do you know where you stand? He said, here are five false motives to watch out for in your church. He says, just because you struggle with them doesn't mean you'll succumb to them. But if you recognize them for what they are, you can identify with them, confess them, and then kill them before they ruin a good thing. So let's go, let's go, let's go. The first one, number one is pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride. The writer says, is pride driving your desire to see your church grow? He says that can be tough to answer accurately. But he says this, pride is like greed, and it rarely shows itself in the mirror. He says, how would you know if pride is driving your church to grow? He says, just watch what happens when you grow or don't grow. The writer Tim Keller says this, if growth has become an idol to you, Success will go to your head and failure will go to your heart. Proud leaders do great as long as everything is moving up and to the right. But if things turn, they almost can't stand the outcome because it crushes them. My God. A humble leader can lead in time of failure, stagnation, and success. Humility separates what you do from who you are. Pride never does. Oh, my God. That will preach. Can I read that again? The writer says, a humble leader can lead in time of failure, stagnation, and success. That's good. He says, humility separates what you do from who you are, but pride never does. You got to be able to recognize when a thing is not working and be okay with the failure. Don't be okay meaning wallow in it, but be okay with saying, yes, I am messing up right now, but I'm willing to recognize that and make whatever substantial changes needed to improve. That's real humility. My, that's good there. That's good there. Woo! Hey, look here, y'all can chime in when you want to. I see y'all still watching on live and everywhere else. Man, that's good. The writers, we got a comment. Those are important ingredients for growth. Those are important. Yes, they are. Humility is so important for growth. It is so important. You cannot grow if you're not humble. You cannot grow if you're not humble. My God, my God. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number two. We're talking about today's topic again, growth. Five of the wrong motives for church growth. Number two, competition. The writer says, some leaders want their church to grow because they need to be the best, to be the brightest and the fastest or on top. He says, there's a world of difference between wanting to do your best and wanting to be the best. Competition is an inferior motive for growth, and not just because it's linked to pride, but because it diminishes the contributions of all others as inferior. Leaders who always want to be first usually take delight in the fact that others are second. And that stinks, especially for Christians, the writer says. Competitive leaders feel they have to be the best. Healthy leaders simply want to do their best. And sometimes that even lands them at the number one spot. Oh, my God. Can we talk? Here is the deal. And I love this. And I'll use myself and this show, for example. I have no desire to be the best Christian talk radio show out there. I have no desire to wanting to have the best Christian talk radio show out there. I have no desire for that. But what I want to do is give you the best possible product I can every time you tune in and listen or watch. Every time you tune in and watch, we as a team here want to make sure that we are giving you our absolute best. And if by us putting in the effort, the late nights, the long drawn out conversations, the fights, the arguments, yes, we have them too, the long conversations, if by doing that, that makes us number one, then hey, that's just gravy. But our intent is to just give you the best possible show that we can give you. And if you are a pastor, your job should be to give your membership the best possible chance they have to succeed in their Christian walk. Your job or your goal should be the best possible church you can be for the community that your church sits in. Oh, my God, I'm preaching to myself. Your job Your goal ought to be is to create the best possible atmosphere for growth. Even if you don't grow by leaps and bounds, at least you make the atmosphere possible, or better, let me find the word, conducive. That's it. Hey, thank you for educating. You want to make sure you have the best, you want to have an atmosphere that's conducive for growth. You can't expect to grow a plant that needs sunlight in a dark room. That'll hit somebody before you hang up. That'll hit you before you hang up. That'll hit you before you hang up. You can't grow a plant that needs sunlight in a dark room. Huh? Can I go back old school? You can't develop a picture that needs to be developed in the dark in a room full of light. Come on, somebody. Things have to be, all areas have to be conducive for growth. And spiritual growth has to be in a setting that is conducive for growth. That means there needs to be a lot of praise going on. Come on now, come on. That means there needs to be some worship happening. That means there needs to be some thankfulness happening. There needs to be some gratefulness. Come on. There needs to be some integrity in the place. Yeah. There needs to be some honesty in the place. That means that sometimes some chastisement is going to have to happen in the place. Come on. You're not going to grow without it. You can't grow without it. So you have to have a climate, a conducive climate that allows things for room to grow. And then when they start growing, you then have to be mindful enough to say, okay, this particular plant no longer fits in that pot. And we have to stop trying to put this plant in that pot. We have to now move it to a larger pot so it can do what? So that it can take further root. Huh? Come on now, that's horticulture 101 right there. That's horticulture 101. When them roots start to grow, when the plant starts to grow, it needs some room to grow. My. Okay, all right. Let's keep going. We're moving. Number three. And again, we're talking about five wrong motives for church growth. Number three, y'all ready? Insecurity is number three. Insecurity. The writer says, sometimes insecure people want their church or organization to grow because it makes them feel better about themselves. Oh, don't miss that. Let me read it again. He says, sometimes insecure people want their church or organization to grow because it makes them feel better about themselves. Let's keep going. The writer says, insecurity and pride are closely linked. He says, why? Because insecurity can lead to an obsession with self the same way narcissism can. He says the insecure person thinks about themselves constantly and will use others to make themselves feel better. Which, of course, is always a mistake. Pride, competition, and insecurity should drive you to God and perhaps to a Christian counselor, not to more. Insecurity can lead to an obsession with self the same way narcissism can. Can we go deeper? You can't want your church to grow simply because you don't like where you currently are in Christ. Can I say that again? Because you don't like where you are in Christ. And because you have some insecurities about your own relationship, you don't know how to do what you need to do. So you become insecure. So then now you start using all types of other methods for church growth. I like to call them Christian get rich quick schemes. Get grow big fast schemes. Let's get some money in here quick type schemes. You know the ones that never work out. They never pan out. Y'all, you know the ones. You know the ones. That ain't nothing new. I like what he says. He says the insecure person, they think about themselves constantly. So when it comes to church growth, do you want the church to grow for your benefit or for the benefit of the kingdom? You want the church to grow so you can say, I'm going to a church with 500 members. Or do you want the church to grow because you know there is room and there's a lot of soul saving yet to be done? If you want the church to grow because you know that there is a need for souls, then now you're on the right path. But if you simply want the church to grow because you want to belong to a large congregation, then you got the wrong motive. You got the wrong motive. That's, whew, my God, my God. Hey, look, y'all, this is good. I like this article. I like this article. Feel free to chime in. Taking Limits Off at Comcast.net. Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, I'll read your comments. Thank you. Those of you watching on Ustream, I see you. Facebook, you over here. That's y'all. See, I'm looking directly at y'all. That's y'all over here. Ustream, this is y'all over here. I'm looking directly at y'all over here. See, this camp, man, this is wonderful, man. This is good. So we're just going to keep it going. Number four. Organizational preservation. Organizational preservation. The writer says, too many churches want to grow simply so they can stay afloat. Can I read that again? Too many churches want to grow simply so that they can stay afloat. The writer says, you've heard it more often than anyone would like to admit. We need some people to help pay the bills. Or we need more butts in the seats if this thing is going to work. Or we are so short on volunteers that we really need to get some new people in the doors. I like what the writer says right here. He says this, people who join your church will soon see that you value them for what they can do, not for who they are. And as a result, they won't stick. Don't miss that. Talking about church folks. People who join your church will soon see that you value them for what they can do, not for who they are. And they will not work out. Those people ain't going to stay at your church. Because see, people know when you genuinely care for them and not just what they can do. Prime example in the church, we got a lot of churches who just like the musicians for what they can do. We don't care nothing about that musician. We ain't checking on his family life. We ain't making sure he's all right. As long as he show up on Sunday and hit the right chord, as long as he can put me in D when I decide to go in, as long as he can do that, then he's all right with me. I don't care if his family life is tore up. I don't care if he gets high every Sunday before he comes to church. I just want him to put me in D and take me a little higher when I go. That's all we care. If that's all you care about, then we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. I like what the writer continues on. The writer says this. He says, cruel as it sounds, churches that want to grow simply to keep themselves alive probably should die. They've lost the mission. I'm going to let that marinate right there. He says, this is the writer, and bless you, Mr. Was it Kerry Neewolf is his name? He says, cruel as it sounds, churches that want to grow simply to keep themselves alive probably should die. They've lost the mission. if your church simply needs to grow so that you can pay your light bill, so that you can pay your gas bill, so that you can continue to pay the mortgage, so you don't lose the building. If that's the only reason you want your church to grow, then guess what? It's really time for you to go ahead and just die. Because you ain't doing jack. And God ain't getting no glory out of your church. What's even sadder with that is that it's true. Is that there are a lot of churches right now who are just in straight survival mode. Meaning we're gonna do whatever we can do to save the building. We're gonna do whatever we can do to stay open. What does that say? Oh, sounds harsh but very true. Yeah, it is. It is harsh, but it's true. Some churches are simply open just to keep the lights on so that we can't. Because here's the deal. And we've talked about this before. Sometimes in order for something to grow, something has to die. Maybe your church needs to die in order for a new church to be birthed out of it. Maybe my brother, he's not here, Devon, he had to kill his old church. When he took over, when they made him pastor, when they made him pastor of the church, his former church was St. Philip's Community Baptist Church. When they made him pastor, he recognized a dying church. He recognized some things that were not working. And he recognized what came along with the name. The church's name had a bad reputation. They had bad business dealings, left a lot of people hurt, and a lot of people scarred. So what he recognized was, I cannot take this church to the next level or get this church in a position to grow under its current circumstances. So what he had to do was shut the whole thing down, rebuild it, and rebrand it, and take away everything in the church that had that name on it. And in some cases, that means remove some of the board members who sat on the board while all that bad stuff was happening. See, some stuff you're going to just have to say, you know what? Even if you weren't the one who made the decision, you sat by and watched it happen. And I don't know if I can have you on my board while we're trying to do this new thing. And because of that, we may need to start from scratch. Now, I know that would be hard for some of you churches that's been around for 25 and 35 and 45 years. Because I can tell you, you're going to have a fight on your hands if you're talking about, well, we need to change the name of the church, the mission statement of the church, all because some stuff just needs to go. Why? Because you failed at it. Some churches might just need to be rebranded. You might not have to close down. You might just need a rebranding. But some of y'all need to just be done. Put the bed. Buried. 6 feet. Matter of fact, 12 feet, just in case you want to get up. 12 feet. For some, it's time. It's time. It's harsh, but it's true. You're right. It's harsh, but it's true. Let's keep going. Number five. And again, we're talking about five wrong motives. For church growth, five wrong motives for church growth. Last one. He says the last one is number five, because you simply want it to grow. Number five, he says this, other churches don't need to grow to stay afloat, but instead they want to grow simply because, well, they want to grow. He says the logic goes like this, healthy things grow, right? He says, so we should add a campus or add a service or embark on a building campaign to make more space. Well, maybe, he says. He says, but that healthy thing should already be growing. Ah, to the point where you need to make a move or it just makes sense to make a move. Expanding so you'll start growing is like saying you want to get married so you'll fall in love. Oh, my God.
He says, no, you get married because you've fallen in love. Woo! Let me read that again. He says this. A healthy thing should already be growing to the point where you're growing and you need to make a move, or it now makes sense to make a move. Expanding just so you can start growing is like getting married so you fall in love. He says, no, no, no. You get married because you've already fallen in love. Y'all missed that. That'll preach in itself right there. Now that, oh, Lord, that's, y'all better put some respect on that one. I mean, come on now. That's good stuff there. That'll preach all by itself. He says, usually, a church should expand because one of two things is happening. One, there's not enough room for the people who are already coming. There's not enough room for the people who are already coming. That's number one. Number two, because you've got a thriving ministry in one location and you want to bring it to a new location. Those are good. He says, expanding for the sake of expansion is not a growth strategy. It's actually an implosion strategy. He says, what often happens when you expand because you want to expand is that you will end up with more debt, more complexity, more stagnation, and more confusion. Can I help you? Can I help you? And y'all, this probably gonna get me in trouble, but let me help you. If you have a church van that picks up sometimes 5 people and sometimes maybe 10 people, and that's all you have, then you don't need a van or a bus that holds 25 people. Now, if you have a reason that on Sundays you have to make 2 and 3 trips, because that's how many people you have, then yes, that makes sense. Can I take it a step further? It makes no sense to buy a sound system when you have a perfectly working sound system. Huh? Stay with me. Here it come. I might probably gonna get sat down again. Here it come. But if can't nobody hear the word being preached, if can't nobody hear the songs being sung, then I believe that makes sense to expand or replace said sound system. Huh? It makes sense when there is need or room for improvement. I'll take it a step further. You want to have a live broadcast of your church service. Then it would make sense that before you do this live broadcast, that you make sure that you have set the atmosphere. We talked about this earlier, that you've set the climate for the broadcast, meaning you ain't got mess all over the place that's going to be shown all over the ether waves to the entire world. Huh? It would just make sense, right? It would make sense, right? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. You want to start an audio-video ministry. You want to have a ministry where you can sell DVDs and of the service. Well, maybe you want to make sure that the room is conducive for video recording. Maybe you want to make sure that you have the right type of equipment to do that before you said, here we go, let's just do it, and we'll figure it out after the fact. Uh-huh. That don't work. Let me go. So the writer says this. What do you think? He says, so those are false motives I've had to wrestle with and I've seen many other leaders struggle with. He says, the truth is, I do want the church to grow. Why? The best and perhaps the only great motivation for growing a church is that we want to see people move into a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Because that's exactly what we all should be doing. And that's it. That's it. This was good, y'all. This is one of the better articles. Seriously, for a missional Monday, for a mission, if your church is looking for a mission for church growth. Find out what your church, you know, what the mission is. And if it's driven because you want to see people grow in relationship, you want to move people into the right relationship with God, then your church is on the right path. Then your church is on the right path. And that's good. That's real good. But if the purpose of growth is to increase your numbers, say we have a large congregation, to make you look better on paper when you go to the bank to get that loan, or so that it looks better on camera, or that you can say I pastor 500 or I pastor 1500. If that's your reason for wanting church growth, then you're in the wrong business, sir, ma'am, prophet, apostle, bishop. You're in the wrong business for the wrong reasons. So I hope, my prayer is that your church is looking to grow for the right reasons. That your church is looking to help people get in the right relationship with Christ, and that you want people to fellowship with like-minded Christians, not so that you just have some bodies in seats. Because we got enough buildings with bodies in seats. That's part of the problem now, is we got too many buildings with bodies in seats with no real power behind them. And we need to get to a place where we start to get people and empower them for growth. Empower them for long-standing relationships with God, where they can then turn around and empower somebody else. Again, we as a church, our job is to disciple and then turn around and make disciples. That's it. That's our job. That's it, y'all. That's it. Let us pray. And remember, don't y'all hang up before this prayer, because y'all need it just as much as I do. Father God, we just thank you for who you are, God. We bless your name just simply for who you are. God, we just lift you up right now. God, we just thank you for all of the things that you continue to do in our lives. God, we thank you for all of the things. God, we thank you for the good, the bad, the indifferent. God, we just thank you simply for the things that you do. God, right now, we lift those up, God, who are still in mourning. To you, God, we lift those up to who are dealing with sicknesses right now. God, right now, I call a name right now, God. God, we put Reverend Cornelius King, we lift his name up to you right now, Reverend Cornelius King, God, who suffered a heart attack and who was back in the pulpit on yesterday, still with some fire in his belly. God, we thank you for restoration for him, God, and we pronounce healing already done in your name, God. So we thank you for bringing that brother back yesterday to the pulpit. God, we thank you for each and every person who is out. God, we ask you that we lift that you would put your hands right now, God, on our silent partner, God, on Deacon McCurtis right now, God. We ask you to heal his ailments right now, God. We ask this and we lift up all those who are ailing or who are sick, God. We know you can do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, look, y'all, it's been an amazing show. I am so grateful for all the things that you guys have done. I'm so grateful for it. Oh my God. It's been amazing. I am so grateful for you all, for everybody that's been able to listen. You've been absolutely amazing. And I just love y'all. Y'all are wonderful, man. It's been fun. I thank y'all for watching. Man, Ustream was blowing up. I hope I didn't miss y'all, Ustream, but I didn't see nobody chatting over there, so I didn't mean to miss you. I appreciate those of you on Facebook Live. Facebook Live was jumping. I appreciate y'all. Man, the callers who piled in, and y'all had the screens. Man, y'all piled in like it was like 3 minutes before the show started. Y'all was ready. I'm like, okay then. All right. I ain't mad. So y'all called in. Y'all was already in there. I appreciate y'all. The emailers, everybody, man, I love y'all. We couldn't do this show. This show wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for God and if it wasn't for the God in you who decided to watch. So y'all stay blessed, man. Look, I got to go, man. I got to go to my mama's house and play handyman. So y'all stay blessed, man. I got to get out of here. Love y'all. And if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I see y'all on Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday. Stay blessed.
All the praise. give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. 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 You are worthy. You are worthy. You are awesome. You are awesome.
Just the audience.
You are awesome. You are awesome. Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory.
That's a conscious decision.
Give you all the glory. 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 Give you all the glory.
It belongs to you.
Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory.
Yeah.
Give you all the glory.
Yeah.
Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory.
We got to move on.
Bless your name. I will bless your.
He's been too good.
Oh, 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 I'll bless your name. I will bless your.
In the midst of opposition,
I will bless your name.
In the midst of uncertainty, these are uncertain times, but it doesn't change it.
I will bless your name. I will bless your name. I will bless your name. I will bless your
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.